Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Here in the studio at Faith Baptist Church, actually Veritas Baptist College, and just spent some time with John Edmonds talking through the Bible and talking about the real life story of heroes. We know that Jesus is the ultimate hero in the Bible, but the Bible does say that we're to consider those that have lived for Christ and take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. And what a great example Stephen was. What a great example these early unnamed Christians that were being imprisoned for their faith. What a great example they are.
You know, I think, pastors, we have been discussing this the last few episodes here. You know what a fire it puts in my own heart to see these people who were devout, living for Christ, standing for their faith, and how God works in their midst, not always on a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, it's going to be persecution, but what great integrity they had, and they lived for Christ regardless.
We talked about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, how Jesus had predicted that his followers would be witnesses throughout the whole world, ultimately, but mushrooming out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then beyond. And we see a fulfillment of that in verse 4, where the Bible says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So, their location was changed, but their conviction was strengthened.
You know, I think here, you know, they did not get discouraged. They did not say, well, we tried this, it didn't work out, let's go back to our old lifestyle. No, they were faithful for Christ. And as they went, I love what you said about how they continued to preach the gospel no matter where they went to.
You can't always control the circumstances of your life locationally. I don't know if that's a word. Geographically, maybe I should say. But you can control what you say. You might not be able to. There might come a day in our nation when, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're put in prison. You won't, and you can't control it. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, there's coming a day when they're going to carry you to a place that you don't want to go. It'll be an uncontrollable circumstance in your life. And yet, what we can control is our testimony. What we can control is what we say. And so they're being scattered, but they're speaking, aren't they?
They had a heart for Christ, and we're going to follow him faithfully.
So Philip, the Bible says, so now we pick up with the second person listed in Acts 6 as one of the seven early deacons, if we can call them that. Stephen has died. Philip is now reintroduced. The Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So he went down, because anytime you leave Jerusalem, you're going down. That's what that means, no matter what direction, northeast, southwest. But in this case, he's actually going up, as far as geography is concerned. He's going up to Samaria, going down from a standpoint of elevation. But he goes to Samaria. And the Bible says he preaches Christ. And what's interesting there is, sometimes when we read our Bible, John, we use the word Christ and use the word Jesus interchangeably, but they're actually not the same. They're not synonyms.
They are not. Jesus obviously was the name that God gave to Mary and Joseph to give to Jesus. And Christ is that same word in the Old Testament as Messiah, is a Hebrew word, the Hebrew word Messiah, the Greek word Christ, is the anointed one, the one God had promised and the one who now has come.
So Jesus wouldn't mean anything to a non-follower of the Lord Jesus, because they would just view him as a man. But the word Christ would have significance to believers and non-believers, because they would understand Christ means Messiah. Now, they might not know yet that Jesus is Messiah, but they would know Christ. So it's interesting that Philip went and preached Christ. It's the same kind of MO that Paul used. So when Paul would go to various locations, I'm thinking now of Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, his MO would be to go to where Jewish people would gather first. He would go to the Jew first, to where Jewish people would gather, and he would preach unto them Christ. So he would use his copy of the Bible, which was the Old Testament, and demonstrate who Christ was. So I picture him, quote, you know, teaching Psalm 22 or Psalm 118 or Isaiah 53. And then he would show that the person, Jesus, fulfilled all the prophecies about the Christ. Therefore, Jesus is Christ.
Yeah, it's a great argument that Paul made. And the Bible, again, it reminds the Old Testament is sufficient to show that Jesus, the man, the God-man Jesus, is the Christ, the one that God prophesied. And there were many prophecies throughout the Old Testament that Jesus, you know, fulfilled with his birth, his death, and so forth, his resurrection. And Paul wanted people to realize you've not understood the Old Testament correctly, because this is what it teaches about Jesus, the Christ.
Sometimes we erroneously say, well, the New Testament is the revelation of Christ. And that's true, but so is the Old Testament.
Exactly.
The whole Bible is the revelation of Christ. And so Philip is preaching Christ, and the verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed. Now, it's interesting because the Bible says back in chapter 7 and verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. So in chapter 7, boy, they killed Stephen in unanimity. They all got involved. But when the persecution came and the scattering took place and Philip went to Samaria, they all listened with one accord. So God had a silver lining here, didn't he?
He sure did. And it's interesting to see these are the Samaritans, the ones the Jews would have despised. They're the ones with one accord, whereas the religious, you know, elite at Jerusalem, they were the ones who denied. But you mentioned that many times.
Yeah, with one accord, the people that knew best stopped their ears. And with one accord, those that were not even considered to be human beings on the same level as a Jew would listen with one accord. Well, what irony. Verse six again, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So they listened to the gospel, but what was the attention getter? The attention getter was the sign, or were the signs and wonders that Philip did. So how did the early apostles and preachers, how were they vested with this ability to do signs and wonders?
You know, the Holy Spirit worked through them, empowered them, because God wanted to authenticate the messenger as being his messenger. And so the Holy Spirit empowered them to do the miracles that God had for them, the signs and wonders, so that he would confirm them and their messages being from God.
Right. So now that we have a complete copy of the Word of God, the church founded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, of course, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, the signs and wonders and the office of apostle and prophet in that sense are no longer utilized in the church today. They were foundational. The Bible makes that clear in Ephesians 2 and other passages for sure, 1 Corinthians 3. But today, people would say, wow, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could just have a preacher and just do a miracle? Well, first of all, miracles were as often rejected as they were accepted. Second of all, there are only certain seasons in the history of man where miracles were even prevalent. You mentioned that, I think, in a previous episode. And number three, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. Peter said, I saw a miracle. I saw Jesus transfigured before me, but I got something better than that. I've got the word of God. So my friends, we have a complete copy of the Word of God. That's the best tool the Holy Spirit can use.
You know, I think about that so often, Pastor, how that people say, only if I had a miracle, my life would be so much different. But the Bible teaches us otherwise. I think of the rich man, Lazarus, rich man and Lazarus story. The rich man was in hell, looked up his eyes. You know, he sees Abraham, Father Abraham. And he says, you know, let me go back and send Lazarus back from the dead to tell my brothers.
Then they'll believe.
Then they'll believe, right. Yeah. But Abraham says, no. If they don't believe the law and the prophets, they won't believe if somebody went back from the dead.
That's right. The best chance that someone has to be confronted with the truth and to receive Christ is through the faithful proclamation of God's word. That's not to say that God didn't validate his word to some back in these early days, because the word of God was not there. They didn't have a complete copy of it yet. The New Testament had not yet been compiled and canonized. Look at verse 7. Here are the miracles that Philip did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, many taken with palsies, the different types of paralysis, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So I love the contrast of the horror of the fear in Jerusalem and what's happening in Samaria.
You know, this is a great verse here about great joy in that city. The gospel has come, God has done a work, and God does bring joy to those that will listen to his word and receive his word with faith and follow it.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and there's going to be joy in the hearts of, joy is going to characterize the lives of those that have been introduced to Jesus. Yes, there's joy in healing, and certainly there's wonderful joy in seeing a paralysis end or a lame man walk, but those are temporary. The permanent joy that we have as believers is that our soul is at rest.
And I think how the world often looks for joy. They try to do all kinds of things to bring themselves joy, but it cannot be found outside of Christ. And here, these people have the joy that comes through Christ. What a testimony of the gospel in their life.
It really is. Verse 9, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what, because verse 9 introduces the story of Simon the sorcerer, I'm going to go ahead and save that for tomorrow. So I'll give you a couple minutes back today, my friends. But I sure do appreciate you listening. It means a lot to me. And I hope that you'll take some time today and just meditate upon the power of the gospel. And maybe God has been at work in your life in an unusual way. What I mean by that is perhaps you are now in a place that you would not have chosen, but through uncontrollable circumstances, maybe it was a job transfer, or maybe it's you're a teenager, or you know, a wife whose husband was transferred in the military, and you're like, why do we live here? Just understand that some of the hecticness that you and I would see, God's at work. And understand that uncontrollable circumstances in our life are the will of God. And don't be so discouraged by, well, I wouldn't have chosen this, but look at what God is doing through it. Be willing to speak for him and let God use you to be a conduit of joy to others through the gospel. So appreciate you again joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.